Okay, what is going on, FPL family? Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee. This is Sam. England are going to win the World Cup, Sam. It's done. We are the best in the world. We smashed the Welsh 3-0. We've beaten the Belgians 2-1. Three lines on his shirt. Football's coming home.
I can tell you only watched the second half.
I did only watch the second half.
Dire in the first half.
It wasn't good, was it?
Dire.
It really wasn't good first half. And when Lukaku slotted that penalty, I was like, we're really not looking that good here. But the goal changed everything at half-time. And to be fair to England, came out pretty good second half. Harry Kane getting some minutes, despite some muscle fatigue, guys.
Do you know what?
Whatever the hell that means, by the way.
What it means is that Mourinho's got under Harry, put his arm around him
what
and gone,
going on there?
Harry, you know, you're super, super tired after all that busy time. You know, you don't really have three games in you over international break, Harry, do you? Oh, no, Gaffer, my muscles are a bit sore,
Remember
Gaffer.
That trip to Macedonia?
Just
tough,
you remember, you know, you're a little bit sore, Harry. Maybe sit out the friendly.
Yeah. And then everyone's bringing you in on the wild card, Harry. Don't upset them
and
FPL
then
managers.
He sat out the friendly and then Mourinho's probably phoned him up and gone, Harry, your muscles are still tired, aren't they, Harry? Okay, good. You're not
fatigue,
gonna,
Harry,
you
fatigue.
Won't, you won't play until like at least 30 minutes till the end, will you, Harry? All right, brilliant.
He's bonkers, isn't it? It's great. Bonkers. But obviously, he gets an hour's worth of rest, and 30 minutes is probably fine.
I'm loving life.
Deal with that.
Because yesterday, I had a hell of a lot of DMs going, oh, Sam!
Yeah, what's this news? Muscle fatigue.
And I was thinking, oh, God, here comes a wild card button press. Because, you know, if I'm taking Kane out, then it's surgery everywhere
else. Possibly.
And then I saw my beloved sitting on a bench and I thought, you're fine.
He's fine.
You're fine.
Well, listen, speaking of wild card button presses, one of us has pressed the button. That is me. I have pressed the wildcard button. As I said, I probably would do last Sunday's stream, and I was kind of umming and ahhing about it. I have pressed it, and of course, guys, I'll be sharing my wildcard draft. I wouldn't say it's locked in by any stretch of the imagination, but it's certainly looking a bit closer to what I think it's going to be, if that makes sense, versus last Sunday. I mean, last Sunday, I was thinking double Liverpool defence, and I was thinking, you know, one of Son or Kane. Now I'm thinking different about those sorts of things, by the way. So my draft will be coming a bit later on. We got in the Slack early, and thanks to all of our patrons in the Slack that commented on the hashtag RateMyTeam section of our Slack and posted their wildcard teams. A few of the guys out there in the Slack, in our Patreon Slack, that are also on their wildcard, Sam, and they've sent us their wildcards. So we're going to have a look at a handful of those as well over the course of the evening. And of course, we're going to be looking forward to game week 5. Feels a long way away, doesn't it? A few more internationals to have to get through before we get to game week 5. But after the chaos of the first four game weeks in FPL, do you feel like the international break kind of came at a good time, or were you just getting into it?
I'm not sure we'll ever get into this season. I feel like this season could
be bonkers.
I just feel like this season will just be bonkers. I think that's partly because of the global situation in the world at the moment, just because you're always a little bit uneasy about, you know, are you going to suddenly lose a player last minute for 2 weeks on all of that kind of stuff?
Interesting. Sorry to cut across you, but yes, the coronavirus thing is hitting hard, isn't it? Naby Keita, I've seen on Twitter. I don't know, I haven't seen it sort of in any sort of official news outlets yet. I don't think Liverpool have come out and said it yet. But actually, a lot of his side, a lot of the Ghanaian side, and he as well, seem to have coronavirus. So yet another Liverpudlian out with the disease.
And John Egan is currently in isolation awaiting
his
test.
Is he really?
Yeah,
John
because,
Egan?
Because one of his teammates, Kenny, has tested positive. So and they've been in close contact.
That.
So until he's had a test, he's in isolation as well. So that's a few, you know, not saying that Naby Keita is a particularly big FPL player because he's not highly owned in FPL, but John Egan certainly is. But it is somewhat of a worry to me, generally speaking. Obviously, we know that the north of England is having some particularly bad problems with COVID at the moment. And Liverpool being geographically where it is,
it's a hotspot, right?
It's in the hotspot, it's in the heartland of it.
I'm
and so it kind of isn't surprising that we're getting some. But this is like, if Naby Keita's got it, that's the third, or is that the fourth? Because you've had Mane, you've had Shaqiri.
Shaqiri's was a false positive. Did you hear that?
I did hear that. But, you know, you're constantly, it's always in the spotlight at the moment. It seems to be, if there's going to be a positive test in a player, you're looking up north, aren't you, and thinking which of my northern players is going to be. That's how
possibly.
It feels right now. I'm sure it will change and the southern players will be at some stage at risk. Well, they always are at risk, right? But I think it's something that we are going to have to live with over the course of this season. I don't see that's going to end anytime soon. Hopefully we will get some more normality now that the transfer window is for the most part closed because we can still make domestic transfers until Friday.
Yeah, domestic players can still go out to foreign clubs, can't they?
Well, and we can still swap within the domestic league. So we can still,
can we really?
Yeah, okay. So we can still buy from each other in the lower leagues on the basis that there might be these problems. I think that's the 16th. I might be wrong. I'm pretty sure that's the 16th. But okay. That's coming to an end anyway, the transfer kind of nonsense that we always have. But I just feel like this season might just be bonkers enough that we have to live with this forever. And,
yeah,
you know,
all eyes on a good bench, I would say. All eyes on a good FPL bench if you can. Yeah, which is tricky given the amount of options that are out there. But FPL bench, I think, is going to be very important going forward. You're right, Keita, not necessarily in our FPL thoughts, but listen.
It affects Liverpool, right?
It affects Liverpool, absolutely.
And, you know, and Liverpool are big, expensive players and they're big, expensive assets to us. And therefore, you know, if you lose a player like Keita, who's important to the Liverpool team, that does have an impact on the quality of the play that you get from your assets too.
All right, okay. How happy, by the way, speaking of something a bit more positive, how happy was Connor Cody?
Oh, I love him.
What a guy. I've never seen a guy be so happy to score a goal. Cody for England against Wales in the friendly a few nights ago, popped up, ghosted in. Like, you'd expect Danny Ings to, or Calvert-Lewin to, ghosted in at the back stick, and he was so happy to score his goal, wasn't he? And then Danny Ings pops up with a bicycle kick.
Mm.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin gets the first goal. All of our FPL assets doing well. All
I must admit, and I said on the Ohana that we did last week for our patrons, I take full credit for Connor Cody being worldie at the moment.
Oh, shut up.
No, because I did, didn't I? I said to you last week I was going to bring Connor Cody in, and then I didn't because you laughed at me.
And now he's
banging him in for England. He's keeping clean sheets for England. He's going off, and he kept a clean sheet for Wolves, didn't he, before he went. And
he played tonight.
He didn't. He got dropped.
Connor.
I mean, Southgate, what are you doing? He's had the game of his life. Same with Grealish. Absolutely fantastic.
Tell you what, Twitter's kicking. We're going to get say hello to you guys in a few minutes, but it was kicking off on Twitter, wasn't it, today?
Rightly, I think.
How is he dropping Grealish after that performance?
10 out of 10 performance on Thursday. Of all of them, he was the standout for me.
Problem is, he plays Mount instead, which obviously at full time, he's going, well, Mount scored a winning goal. So what? Haters love
Grealish
it, you know.
Grealish would have scored the goal, though, if he was there.
I don't know. All I know is that Grealish had a very, very good performance against Wales. And
if you're Jack
Grealish, looking,
you should be disappointed.
He's looking on fire. He's looking on fire. Right. Let's say hello to a few people who are in this evening, Sam. Let's say hello to Harry, FPL Tips. He says the mic is fine. No need to adjust. That's good. That means that somebody must be saying the mic's a bit loud. Probably just me, to be honest. Probably just me being loud. I will tone it down, guys. But let us know if the mic is really bad. If it's Tipsy saying it's good, so I think we're good. Tikka Sala is in. How are we doing, Tikka? Very nice to see you. John Tyner is in. How are we doing, John? Nice to see you. Abhishek is in. He's saying Kane strokes Son double up, Sam. How do you feel about that?
I would if I was wildcard.
You would if you were wildcard.
I'd 100% do
that. Absolutely.
And if KDB's injured, I'm 100% doing it.
Tips just says Mason Mount, what a boy. Yeah, what a boy. Now listen,
Chelsea bias going
just
on
there. Just because Grealish didn't play doesn't mean Mount didn't play well today.
When I said that, I didn't mean that Mount was poor. It's just that Grealish was fantastic. And when you have a game like that, you just got to be a bit disappointed that you then miss the next one. Like, I think when you play that well.
Okay. Josh is in. Hey, FPL Telling. Good evening in admirating. Matthew Keown is here. Matthew, who is flying high, by the way, in the Manager of the Month. Only just missed out on September's Manager of the Month prize. And we're going to have a quick October update a bit later on. But Matthew's doing very, very well.
One week in, aren't we,
in the October. We're already in. So, guys, there is still time. If you want to take part in our October Manager of the Month competition, patreon.com/FPL family. Get in the links below after the live stream. Have a look over there. Check us out. And you can win prizes like you can see on the walls, which Hanno did. In September, Hanno Dorfling. So, yes.
What did he choose?
He chose a Mo
Liverpool?
Salah signed street sign. So, a street sign like this Spurs one here, but it had Anfield Road, L1, signed by Salah. It was a nice piece. Really
it's
nice piece.
That's how we sent the Spurs one out. Come on, you Spurs fans.
Have we ever sent the Spurs one out? It's mostly Liverpool Man United, isn't it?
Come on, you Spurs fans.
Come on, you Spurs fans. Get in the live chat. Get in the Patreon.
I'd like to send the Kane one out.
Well, that'd be nice. Nuclear Atoms is in. How are we doing? He's saying DCL is in formidable form. Yes, he is. And he carried that on by getting the opener for England, didn't he, against Wales. Fantastic. And I think he got some minutes as well.
We started instead of Kane today.
He started instead of Kane, that's right. And then Kane came on for him, I think. Stealth Panda is in. How are we doing, Ken's? He's in with a super chat saying FPL family plus a cuppa. Plus biscuits equals perfect
Sunday.
Oh, I
wish I had a biscuit.
We're missing a biscuit, but if we can't crunch into the microphone, that'd be a bit unprofessional, wouldn't it? because we're so professional.
Well, because we're the height of professional the rest of the
that's
time.
That's exactly right. Charlie Warner is here. How are we doing, Charlie? Very nice to see you. Abigail Jacques is here. He says, Abigail, I guess a she. Abigail is saying, Sterling injury serious. Yeah, well, I did see Sterling going down, clutching his left leg, I think, towards the end of that game today. I don't know if serious or not. Keep an eye on, obviously, at Ben Dinnery on Twitter. Keep an eye on the press conferences to see how serious that is to Sterling. Also, in that same game, notice that De Bruyne was signalling to come off on about 55, 65, something like that, wasn't it?
And was a long chat on the bench as well.
Long chat with Martinez as he came off, a long chat with the physio. Didn't look too bad. He walked off fine, but you know when someone signals to come off, you just need to keep an eye on that. Just need to keep an eye on Raheem and on De Bruyne ahead of the game at the weekend.
I mean, let's be honest, though. If he's fit, or even if he's not, if he can actually put boots on, Pep's going to have not much choice but to play him because he's got no Aguero, he's got no Jesus, he might not now have Sterling. If he can't play KDB as well... Pfft.
Interesting, yeah, interesting. Akshat is in, he's saying, new mug for Sam?
No, it's still my old one.
Still the old one, going strong.
No, it isn't really, though. Look how faded it is.
It's looking a bit dodgy, isn't it?
That's what I could have had for my birthday.
Birthday coming up next week. New mug, incoming. There we go. There's an idea, guys. There's an idea. Scott Schrager is in. How are we doing, Scott? The OG for the Patreon. Scott Schrager, how are we doing? Dan Frost is in. How are we doing, Dan? Very nice to see you. Let's see. Jones Bloke 79, how are we doing? Gavin Doyle is in. And the FPL Fan Show are in as well.
Hey.
So, hey, Nacho and Prince, hope you're doing well. Everton versus Liverpool will be the battle of the dodgy keepers, Sam. Who will make the fewest mistakes in that game will probably decide who wins in the Merseyside derby. Will it be dodgy old Adrian, or will it be Timmy Chocolate Wrists himself, Jordan Pickford? Who knows?
They're both as bad as each other.
Right, there's our Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. How many are we doing on the Instagram now? What are we up to? Doing all right on the Insta?
Yeah, we passed the 7K mark last week.
Thank you, guys.
In fact, we forgot to mention it in the last week's live stream, and I meant to, and then we got carried away with the result that we must not never mention again. And I forgot because of the kind of drama that was last week. 7,061. So thank you, guys.
Instagrammers. If you're on Instagram.com/FPLFamily, go check us out over there. Hit that follow button. We do like Insta reactions as well after games as well. If you guys have seen our Insta reactions, it's like a quick 60-second gut feel. We've just watched a Premier League game. What do we think of it from an FPL perspective? Mm. Who's in our thoughts now? Who's not? You know, sometimes a bit of rage in there. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes there's tears.
I don't know.
Sometimes you've slapped a door. Yeah, sometimes you've slapped me. I don't know.
I've never slapped you. Don't say that. They'll be phoning the police.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
But I've never slapped Lee, let's be clear.
Let's be clear.
Much. Although we will be doing less. We won't be doing less interactions because there's less games to watch. Unless we pay £15 for them.
Let's not talk about that, Sam, because as you know, Sam, we are gainfully employed by the Premier League and we're not allowed to give our opinion. But that is absolutely horrendous. £14.95 again. Goodness me. What on earth?
Good
is
job
going
the Spurs on? Are televised for the first couple of weeks. Hopefully they'll have sorted themselves out by the time week three rolls around.
Man alive, guys, we can't count on it much, but that is a lot of money to watch Burnley versus West Brom.
75 extra pounds a month. I already pay. How much do we pay Sky and BT already?
Sky and BT.
Plus Amazon
have
got
money.
Some over Christmas. Yeah. Ridiculous. And then I hear in Canada you can have every single game of the Premier League for $12 a month.
You're not wrong.
I might
move
to Canada. Anyone out there in Canada, can I come and stay with you?
Stealth Panda is in the super chat saying, yeah, pay to view now. It's a joke. You're right, mate. You're right. We're not going to comment on it too much, but it is absolutely bonkers. Game week 5 looks like this, guys. You will see it on your screen on the left-hand side there. Some mouth-watering fixtures. We've already spoken to the FPL Fan Show there about Everton versus Liverpool, the clash of the dodgy keepers. Other games that catch your eye, Sam, in that game week, you've got to be looking at Man City, Arsenal, and also at the bottom there, Leeds versus Wolves.
I can't see that. I'm getting this up here because my eyes are so...
Leeds versus Wolves looks pretty good as well. Let's start with Man City versus Arsenal and the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday.
Yeah.
What are we saying about going into that game? Man City with a few injuries up front, as we know. No number 9 in Jesus or Aguero. Uh-huh. Aguero, we think, is coming back at some stage. I doubt if Pep is going to bring him back for that game, I have to say. And then, of course, with the slight... Maybe there's a slight niggle for Sterling and De Bruyne that we need to look out for from the England-Belgium game tonight.
Mm.
Could be under a bit of pressure there, Pep. And we know what Arsenal are all about. I don't think Aubameyang or many of their other big assets have been on international duty. So they might feel fairly refreshed after a couple of weeks' break.
They might do. I think... international break's always a funny one, isn't it? Because sometimes you lose a massive chunk of your team and therefore you're left with just a handful, and it's useful because you can just work on those. And then other times you get left, like Spurs have and like Arsenal have, you get left with almost your entire squad, which actually is quite nice because you can work on actual match stuff ahead and you've got 2 weeks to do it. I think if I was Arsenal right now, looking at that fixture, looking at the issues that Man City have and
it's a good time to play them,
yeah. I think there's a good opportunity there for Arsenal to go and take something from Manchester City. They've not been that solid defensively. There's always a mistake in them at the back. I think we'll say it that way. If Sterling's out, don't know about KDB yet. I think he'll probably be okay, but you never know.
But Jesus, I think that Arsenal probably got a good feel about them as well, given that Thomas Partey has come in. Mm-hmm. I think that's there's a couple of players they wanted to sign, but I would say that's probably the signing they wanted to get. If you speak to a lot of the Arsenal fans on Twitter, he was the one, I think,
right,
that is going to make the difference. Now, I don't know if he's going to be a big FPL asset. The feel I get about him is a bit more defensive than your average central midfielder.
Okay.
But again, he's going to add quality to that midfield. And at the same time, they've let a couple of players go. I think Guendouzi's gone. I think Torreira go?
Yes, he did. Yeah, no more bicycle kicks.
Yeah, so no more Torreira bicycle kicks. But they've let a couple of what I consider as, you know, I don't know if those players have really done it for Arsenal, to be honest with you. And they've been on the periphery for some time. And now they bring in top quality like Partey, who I think is going to really improve the first 11. They've got rid of a couple of squad sort of periphery players and bought in a real first teamer there in Partey. So I expect that to have a positive impact. I agree with you. I think it's an interesting time for them to be playing Man City.
I do. I think there's a good chance that Arsenal go up and win that game. I think they could beat Man City.
All right, okay. We're going to just touch on a few of these games because I want to get to the wild card drafts. I want to see the patrons' wild card drafts. And of course, I'm going to show you mine towards the end of the stream, guys. What are we saying about this Merseyside derby then? Everton versus Liverpool. Liverpool coming off the back of a pretty shocking result at Aston Villa. What sort of reaction are we going to get from Klopp's boys, do you think? Is it going to be, listen, we've got to shut up shop here and we've got half of Everton Twitter saying they're going to win the league and we need to show them we're the champions? Or is it going to be the same Liverpool that trekked up to Villa Park, a bit nervous, a bit not sure about their goalkeeper?
It's hard.
What do you think? With Everton in, I mean, let's face it, they are absolutely on fire and in form.
They are, and have continued that over international break. Sigurdsson got 2 goals, I noticed, during international break. Obviously, Dominic Calvert-Lewin has played in both games for England and scored. So their assets, Richarlison played, so that's a bonus for them. For those of us that were I was never concerned, but for those of you that were concerned about Richarlison and his positioning, and also, therefore, the impact that has on James Rodriguez as well.
The Gary theory.
So I think Everton are buoyant, and international break has actually just increased that. I don't think there's been any negatives for them of international break so far anyway. But from a Liverpool perspective, I think we've obviously still got Mane isolating. You've still got, I think Thiago Silva's out of isolation now.
I think he will be available for selection for that game, yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Because he's done his 2 weeks.
Potentially Keita going into isolation, so that's an issue once we get word on that.
Jordan Henderson back in the squad will be a big lift for Liverpool. Notice that he played for England today, so you've got to think he's going to be fit for that game.
I always think, though, when you lose a game in that manner, the last thing you need is a 2 week break to think about it. So they've all gone away for England duty or for international duty, apart from the ones that stayed behind, like Salah. But you can't fix it when the whole team's not there. So I'm sure Klopp's spoken to the ones he's got left behind about what happened and how he can improve on it. But he's not been able to do that across his squad. And I think sometimes when you lose a result badly, you need to meet the next day, put it to bed, and then you move on and you leave it there. Whereas I kind of worry that with Liverpool, it might just be niggling. Like Trent had a particularly poor game, I thought, for England again.
Trent's not looked great so far this season, to be honest with you.
No, and he didn't look great for England
today. And I know that he's got a very high benchmark, right? So when you say Trent's not playing great, it's because we're used to seeing greatness from him.
Yes, that's true.
And I think right now he's playing just below where he can. You can't say he's playing well. Equally, I don't think he's playing terribly, but at the same time he's not where we know he should be. And probably not for a 7.5 FPL asset.
No, and when he walked off the pitch for England, it was a real kind of grudging, kind of like trudged off. Didn't look best in
not place. Happy with his own performance.
No, you can see that there just isn't that kind of. Now I'm sure that this is almost the perfect game for Liverpool. It would have been better if it was the other way around, and Liverpool playing at home. But there's no game that is easier to get up for than the derby.
Yeah, so, Daniel Pedersen is saying Jordan Henderson back is crucial. That's why I just dropped that little tidbit in there, because I do think without him, James Rodriguez and the folks in there in the middle of that Everton midfield have got the potential
run riot.
To, I don't know about run riot, but you know, Henderson will make sure that they've got no time on the ball now.
Yeah.
Not that James needs a lot of time on the ball, but I think Henderson back is absolutely crucial for Liverpool.
Yeah, I do. I think, I mean, I only own Trent and Salah at the moment in that game. I don't still yet own any Everton players. I don't know how comfortable I feel about Trent, you know.
What would you say to wildcarders? Liverpool defence, 2-1-0?
If I was wildcarding, I wouldn't have any of them.
No Liverpool defence right now.
I'd have a strategy to get one back, because at some stage they're going to come good. Okay. But whilst Alisson is out and Adrian's in goal, I don't see the value defensively in them, and I haven't seen enough from Trent going forward that makes me think he's worth the 7.5. Robbo slightly more attacking returns for his price tag. So maybe if I had him, I'd potentially think about it. But with Trent, for me, he just isn't quite there right now.
They're the straight choice between the two, which I do on my wild card. I have to say, I'll be leaning towards Robertson,
yeah,
to be honest
so.
With you.
And that extra 0.5 is handy, right? So.
It is handy. It's a bit frightening on the Trent ownership, right? That's the bit that frightens me a bit. But the last time I got frightened by ownership, I put Werner in my team in game week one. And look how that worked out. So I feel like that's a bit of a, you know, don't do it on that basis. And Robertson, you know, eye test wise, underlying stats wise, has looked better than Trent. But listen, it's going to be a difficult game. Everton on fire right now, and Dominic Calvert-Lewin is—he's going to give Virgil a game now. It's going to be a great—it's going to be such a great battle between those two.
I don't know.
And
if he's got any sense,
if he's got any sense, he'll be targeting that other side. He'll be targeting the Gomez
and Trent
side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see whether Klopp decides to play Fabinho back there in the same way that he did away at Chelsea, which worked quite well. Let's see. Speaking of Chelsea versus Southampton at Stamford Bridge again, got the potential to be a decent game. Potentially the first game that we start to see some of these Chelsea assets that we were so much looking forward to seeing at the beginning of the season start to be in that Chelsea team and start to walk on the Stamford Bridge pitch. You've got Ziyech then playing some minutes for Morocco before he then came back to Chelsea early on to work on his fitness from international duty. Got an assist, I think, as well, Ziyech, while he was off. And obviously Pulisic on the other side coming in at 8.3 in FPL. As a wildcarder, I have to tell you, I'm very tempted by both of these two, given that they're both cheaper now than they were at the beginning of the season.
Pulisic for me, of the two of them. I just think tried and tested in the Premier League. We know what Pulisic can do when he gets going. I was really hoping that he was going to stay at the 8 that FPL priced him at originally, and then obviously went up to 8.5, and he's come down a little bit, so we sort of met halfway, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think at 8.3, he could be a really, really nice addition to teams. The only negative for me, I think, with Pulisic is that it did take him a few weeks to warm up last time when he started. Yeah. Once he was getting into the Chelsea team, it was like a few weeks before we actually saw him fly. And I wonder whether, with the layoff that he's had since, what was it, FA Cup, wasn't it, he got injured. So since then, you know, that's a substantial amount of time on the sidelines. So will it take him a little bit of time to get back into it? Maybe. I mean, we saw him get some minutes before the break. With Ziyech,
just to finish up on Pulisic, I think you're right. I think he took a bit of time in his first season to get up and running. Frank then took him out of the team, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Said, look, get your head straight, and then once you're ready to play, we'll play it. And he was fantastic after that. I think that getting up to speed that you're talking about was more of an emotional settling into Chelsea and London life for me. Rather than a match fitness and an injury thing. I think he's going to come back from injury. And against that Saints high line that we saw Son exploit so well on that side, you wouldn't put it past him. And Werner's no slouch, right? And I'm pretty sure Ziyech is pretty quick as well. Any of those guys could easily break that Saints back line if Saints decide to play that high game.
Which they will, because they don't really know how else to play. That is their game. I think the one thing with Chelsea that worries me is it's a bit like this midfield at Spurs. There's just a wealth of talent there. And it's very difficult to know which way Frank's going to go in terms of who's going to get the start. I think the reason why everyone went Werner, or part of the reason why everyone went Werner at the beginning of the season, was because he was pretty much guaranteed to start. And that, of all of them, he was the one that you kind of felt safest with. I worry a little bit about the others, so I'm tempted to hold out a little bit still. on the basis that you'll get a little bit more insight after once they're all back fully fit and as to who he's playing and where they're playing and all of that kind of stuff.
Once that team settles down, yeah. FPL Geordie is saying Pulisic in already. Tick, got him in. Matt Henley, Pulisic in until he gets injured again.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, isn't it? He is a little bit injury prone, but listen, Nuclear Atoms is in again. Pulisic is the explosive attacker. I must admit, he is one that I currently don't have in my wildcard draft that,
really?
That I would like. Yeah, that I would like. Just because I think there's some other FPL midfielders for about £1 million, maybe £1.5 million less that I also like the look of that are already hitting the ground running and they feel like less risky picks for me. I'll come to who they are when I show you my wildcard draft. But I'm likely to have a plan to get to either Ziyech or Pulisic.
Okay.
Based on whatever we see, and I think you're right. I think Chelsea, let's have a look at the Chelsea fixtures and see whether we've got the ability to sort of sit and wait and see how they get on. It's Southampton at home, Manchester United away, Burnley away, Sheffield United at home. You've got to think that Chelsea in game week 8, Sheffield United at home, and we've talked before on these live streams about how game week 8 is quite tricky for your captaincy pick because Liverpool play Man City. Now, Spurs have got West Brom. You've got, I think, West Ham are playing Fulham. So listen, there are some options there, but Chelsea at home to Sheffield United, if we don't see an improvement in Sheffield United, which defensively I'm not sure we're going to, I mean, Brewster's come in, but actually defensively, especially with Egan being out for a bit, potentially with coronavirus.
Yeah, well, let's see.
Let's see how they adapt to that. So game week 8, to have a Chelsea player in there as a potential captaincy option, based on what we see over the next 3 weeks, could be a good move. Could be a good move.
I mean, I think potentially they're good assets to own from now. I mean, even that Manchester United game in game week 6, judging by the way that they've been performing defensively, there's no reason why the Chelsea boys can't do something there. So
if you want
a wild card, you can take a chance on a Chelsea player now. But for me, who I'm not, I'm probably going to wait a couple more weeks just to see who's playing.
All right, well, let's discuss. You touched on that Man United there. I mean, lots. I feel like there's so much drama around Man United all the time. I feel like all the time there's drama. Sometimes it's good drama. Sometimes it's bad drama. Sometimes it's weird drama. I just feel like there's always something, and of course it's Man United, they're going to be in the press, they're going to be on Twitter, they're going to get the trends, right? But now you've got Pogba coming out saying, well, it would be, you know, any player's dream to go to Madrid. And all of a sudden, that whole Pogba rhetoric...
It starts again.
...that was there when they weren't doing well last season.
Yeah.
And this is why, guys, I hate to say it, and Man United fans, you can get in the comments and absolutely cane me if you want. Get in the live chat and tell me what you think about Pogba. I am 100% Graham Souness on this. I cannot stand Pogba.
No,
I cannot stand
him.
I'm 100% Graham Souness. He absolutely hates Pogba, and I do as well. The guy is so talented. He's so talented. Such a fantastic... The guy's won World Cups. I mean, this guy is a fantastic player, and he just doesn't care.
The thing is...
When they were playing badly last season, he went missing. Suddenly Bruno comes to the club. He gets them going again. Bruno got them going again.
He did, yeah.
And Pop was like, oh, I'm fit, I'll play. And they were fantastic until game week 38 last season. Now they're hitting, it's getting hard times again. They need somebody to just take the team by the scruff of the neck and pull them out of the mire. And you're hearing all this rhetoric behind the scenes about, you know, Bruno hauled off at half time because he's in there, you know, giving his opinion at half time and saying what he thinks of the captaincy and all the rest of it. Which is what you want, I think. You want a bit of that. And Pogba's in a press conference for France saying, well, it's every player's dream to go to Real Madrid. That is not helping, Paul. It's not helping.
The thing is, it wasn't helpful when he laughed. They were losing 6.
Oh, this guy's unbelievable.
Like we beat them. And he's laughing. He's walking around the pitch laughing. And it's like, hang on a minute. This is embarrassing. This is an embarrassing result for your club. It's an embarrassing result for your fans. You're going to have to deal with the consequences of not just the Spurs fans, but the rest of Manchester.
Yeah.
And you're walking around the pitch with a smile on your face laughing. I'm sorry. That's embarrassing. And you should be embarrassed of yourself. And then to go away and say what he has isn't helpful. Then you hear all this stuff about Bruno. Now, Bruno's a really tough decision for me because obviously I own him. He's been ticking over the points quite nicely because of the penalty thing.
This is the thing with Bruno, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is the thing.
So he's returning all right. So even in this, like, even by getting hauled at half-time in the Spurs game, he's still got a penalty, and so the points were fine.
If you've got Bruno in your FPL team, it's not a panic, is it? Despite what's going on at United, I don't think he's a panic sell, or
no.
Is he? If you want a wild card, would you have him or not?
I don't know. I think so.
It's a hard one, actually.
I would still have him. My one concern is that, as a neutral, reading... I mean, and obviously it's press, so you're reading it from a tabloid point of view. But from all the stuff I read about Bruno and what happened in the dressing room that day and subsequently, he's exactly the sort of person I would want in my dressing room.
Yeah,
telling the rest of them, get a grip of yourself, man up, do this, do that. That's what you want, isn't it? That's what I want
bit
from
of
my
leadership.
Players.
Bit
that's
of leadership.
That's why, you know, when we watch the Spurs thingy, that's why we liked it when Lloris is the captain, because he's in there and he's shouting at them and he's not prepared to have a little bit of go at them. That's what you want.
A lot of the Man United fans on Twitter are actually calling for Bruno to be captain on that basis. A bit of leadership. Potentially more than Maguire. I mean, listen, let's...
That's another side story.
That's a whole other podcast probably around Manchester United. But listen, the circus continues. I personally think that they've got a problem with the manager. I don't think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is strong enough. Lots of links with Pochettino over the last couple of days again. So that's coming around. You talk about
circus.
This cyclical drama, right? Here we go. We're back on the bandwagon of Pochettino in.
He said it perfectly at the end of last time. He was like, it wasn't Neville, it was Evra. And he said,
Evra was...
Since Alex Ferguson left, it's been one thing after another, and it's like, blame the manager, let's move on. Blame the manager, let's move on. This player's a problem, sell them. This is the problem, that's the problem. They haven't actually dealt with the problem. And so we've had, like, however many years it's now been, of just drama and upset. And somebody needs to take that club by the scruff of the neck. And I think Bruno Fernandes might just be the person that does that. But they need to deal with the negativity, I think.
All right, well, listen, they've got a couple of incoming. So Edison Cavani is now in, and a Manchester United player. Isolating. But listen,
so he'll miss a week.
I don't know how I feel about that. And United fans, again, get in the live chat, get in the comments. Let us know how you feel about your incoming transfers. We're going to talk about Alex Telles in a second. But Cavani, for me, doesn't feel like the sort of player they need. Doesn't feel like the sort of dynamic player that, you know, perhaps they want in that number nine position. So for me, I don't think going to be an FPL asset yet. But Alex Telles coming in at 5.5. Listen, this guy comes in with a lot of pedigree. For attack, by the way, I'm not sure he's going to help them defensively. I'm not sure he's going to help them much defensively. Although even with one foot injured, I'd be better than Luke Shaw was in that previous game against Spurs.
Well, he should be suspended.
So Telles is going to come in. You've got to think he's an improvement on Luke Shaw. But he's known for his set pieces. He's known for getting forward. He's got a fantastic whip of a cross on him. So I think he'll contribute going forward. And as an FPL asset, that maybe looks quite good. But don't back him to improve United defensively at all.
And I guess the problem is that, you know, with Liverpool defenders, we pick them, all right, this season's a bit of an anomaly so far, but we pick them because they've got the clean sheets and the additional bonus that they have free kicks and they take corners and they're really good attacking-wise, and that's perfect. So the likes of Robert and Trent is ideal. But the fundamental thing about picking a defender in FPL, if you're going to spend 5.5 million on them this season, because there's a wealth of options at 4.5 million, There has to be some sort of opportunity for clean sheets. Now, I know that there isn't a lot across the whole league at the moment, but I'm just not sold yet. It might be that in a few weeks' time, he's really settled and he's going on attacking runs, and then it's the perfect time for having him. But I think right now, there needs to be some sort of settling process at Man United before I want to invest any more of my FPL pounds in them.
Yeah, Newcastle away, obviously, in game week 5, as we mentioned. Then Chelsea and Arsenal back-to-back before they go away to Goodison Park. So listen, the next four for United do look pretty tricky before West Brom at home in 9. So we've got plenty of time to have a look at Telles, I think, and see how he settles into the league. At 5-5, he's competing with the likes of who? Chilwell, Castagna. So, you know, we know what you're going to get from those other two guys. So you've got to hope that you're going to get that from Telles as well. But you're right. He's got to have his bread and butter. He's got to have his clean sheets. Let's move on from Man United. A couple of more fixtures that I want to talk about. Spurs, West Ham. Obviously, a lot of wildcarders looking at Son, Kane, both. Maybe more from Spurs, given the recent form. I have to say, I do think you'll win that game. But I do think it will be a difficult game, that. I think West Ham have played very, very well so far this season. Game week 1, they weren't good, right? They weren't good against Newcastle. I think we said this last week. But in game week 2, played Arsenal, did very well. Obviously surprised us all with that victory against Wolves as well. So listen, they are playing well. They're dropping deep. They're absorbing these teams that are coming to attack them and then hitting them nicely on the counter-attack. And Antonio in particular is proving good on the counter-attack. Suchek as well. I noticed a stat the other day. I think he is the midfielder with the most amount of shots on goal without scoring yet.
I think it's all of them, because Shea Adams was in that as well, wasn't he? So I think it was just the game.
I think you're right. It could be all FPL players, actually, yeah. So Adams was in the list.
Werner was second. It was Antonio, Werner and Adams, wasn't it?
No, Suchek, Werner Suchek, and Adams. Yeah, Suchek was at the top with 12. He's had 12 attempts on goal without scoring. Yeah. So for me, as an athlete, you know, I got my wild card. I took him out. He dropped to 4.9. I bought him back in, so I've managed to dodge that price drop. I'm very happy to have him at 4.9. Now, listen, the fixtures still look tricky for West Ham. However, they are proving to be a tough nut to crack. How do you see that game going?
Exactly the same as you, but I think, you know, I think this will be very, very similar to Mourinho. If you remember, this was Mourinho's first game in charge. We went to West Ham, and it was... We did very well at the beginning, and then they came back into the game. There will not be a clean sheet in this game. Nobody will keep a clean sheet.
A clean sheet in any game.
Oh, no, probably not. But there definitely won't be in this one. West Ham will score goals, and therefore Antonio and Suchek, I believe, will be part of that. I think Antonio is a really nice option.
He's got cheap as well now, Antonio. He's taking a couple of drops, right? 6-3, 6-4, something like that.
And I think if you're on a wild card, I've had a lot of people saying, what should I do? Shall I go Son? Shall I go Kane? I do genuinely, and it's this, leave my Spurs goggles aside, I genuinely believe that there is a case for both at the moment. I think it depends the way your team is structured as to whether you can afford to go with Kane up top, because obviously he's that little bit more expensive than Son. So you've got to find a bit more money, and he's in one of those tighter, when there's a lot of good budget options up top. Son's potentially a bit easier to fit in across the middle, but I think that there is a case for having both of them, because their partnership has been so solid together. And they work so well together, the way that they are communicating. And I think West Ham defensively will struggle to cope with Kane and Son as a partnership. Plus, okay. I think David Moyes is back, so you know.
Moyes is back on the... Well, I think this game is going to be down to the return of a couple of people, right? It's going to be Moyes back on the touchline. Is this the game where we see Gareth Bale?
I think so.
I think we are going to see Gareth Bale in this game, which
will be... He's going to be back.
Quite incredible to see how that Spurs front three lines up. It's going to be incredible. You're going to be emotional, aren't you, if Bale lines up?
If I see Bale, I've actually started wound up.
Fuck. Oh, God, dear me. Those of you that were here a few weeks ago noticed Sam crying live on the live stream when Bale signed for Spurs. Just the thought of Bale being in the Game Week 5 squad has brought her to tears again. I don't want to be here next week when he scores.
It's my birthday this week. I genuinely think he's going to score.
Stop crying.
He's going to score me a goal.
Stop crying about Gareth Bale. It's
or
ridiculous.
Maybe a hat-trick. It's going to be one of them. Do you remember that worldy free kick he got against West Ham?
He scored a lot of worldy free kicks.
Oh, but that one against West Ham. It was a Monday night. We were about to lose. And then he pops up with an absolute... I love that man.
By the way, that is the 4:30 game on Sunday. The emotion will be high in next week's live stream.
I love it.
Because the game will have just finished. And we'll be live streaming a couple of hours later.
It's like you...
Careful.
Bale, Kane, and Toby.
Oh, jeez, we're moving on. A couple more games to talk about. Let's just touch on one more. Leeds versus Wolves. I think it's going to be a fascinating game. Fascinating game.
What were we talking about? Leeds and Wolves. We're still thinking about Gareth Bale.
We've moved on from him because you can't keep your emotions in check. Leeds versus Wolves, going to be a cracking game. I always enjoy watching Leeds play. Always enjoy them. And Wolves, as we said last week, and I think we said on the Ohana podcast a couple of weeks back, seem to have lost their identity a little bit, in my opinion. They've lost a lot of key players, a lot of characters in that team disappeared. And I do think that that trip to Leeds is a massive banana skin for Nuno's boys.
Talk to me about Podence, because I still own Podence.
Mm-hmm.
You're on your wild card. I'm presuming that you don't now own Podence.
I don't, because the main reason is with Semedo coming in, who is a player I am looking at in my wildcard. Again, he's in that 5.5 Alex Telles bracket, isn't he? We'll talk about Telles. We've got Castagna, Chilwell. Suddenly there's a lot of options at 5.5. At the beginning of the season, we were like, well, it's Trent and a load of 4.5s because there's so many options. I think there's starting to be a lot of options now in that 5 to 5.5 bracket. However, Semedo, I think, has looked pretty good, actually. He's only played a limited amount of minutes, but I've liked the look of him. And you've got to think that that Traore is still going to be in that first 11 for Wolves. So he's going to push him onto that right-hand side. Now, if he does that, that probably means that the left-hand side is up for grabs. Either Neto or Podence are going to play. Now, I don't think that I want to have that rotation risk in my team. Okay. I do think Podence is first choice, but you can tell by the tone of my voice that I'm not saying that with any certainty, particularly in game week 4 when Neto gets the winning goal. So I'm a bit unsure about Podence all of a sudden. I'm a bit unsure about him. And I must admit, at 5.5, I'm looking at him and thinking, would I prefer to have a 5.5 defender like one of those ones that we've just mentioned, including Semedo? And I actually think that I would. Now, having said that, I got Podence in for a reason in game week 3, for a hit, by the way, for St Maxima. Got him in for a reason, and I did like the look of him, and he did the nutmeg on KDB, and he was going to be the next best thing in FPL, wasn't he? But let's see. He right now is not on my wildcard. He's not in my wildcard draft.
Interesting.
Any thoughts about that game? Leeds, I think, I'd back a home win, I think.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't see many clean sheets in this game either. I think Leeds look really solid going forward. They've got that grit about them and that real hard work and determination about them. Wolves, there's a lot of, like you said before, they've lost a lot of their kind of key players. They've sold, they've bought in new, and I think they've bought in well in the terms of the players that they bought in. But it's just whether they've had enough time. Now, the good thing about Wolves, of course, is that most of them don't go off on international duty. So they've had a couple of weeks of just training together and getting used to each other. So that will benefit. Teams like Wolves and Leeds will benefit from the fact that we've had an international break. Are you keeping Jimenez?
That's a nice segue to my wild card. We'll talk about that a bit later on. Maybe. The wild card isn't locked in yet. Maybe. The fixtures look still good for Wolves. They still look good.
Getting Gareth Bale.
I do. No, not. But yeah.
You're just jealous of
tempted,
that,
tempted.
I know.
But no, I think that's a very tricky game for Wolves.
I do too, yeah.
However, what I will say is that if Leeds play the way that they did against us, particularly in game week 1, and the way that they played for many of the minutes against Manchester City, and they do that pushing back of the fullbacks, that high, if Traore gets in behind there, he's going to have a field day, isn't he? I cannot believe that Nuno does not play Traore in that game. He has to play Traore in that game. He absolutely has to. And to that end, I'm not sure he's going to put on the other side, Neto or Podence. Neto has done enough, I think, to warrant that start. But Podence is quick as well. Maybe he'll fancy his speed in between the lines. I don't know. Going to be a fascinating game. And I noticed James from Planet FPL on one of their recent podcasts, he described Bielsa versus Pep, Leeds versus Man City in the last game week. He said he can't wait for the tactical orgasm when that happens. And I think that's going to be equally orgasmic, that game. Leeds versus Wolves, tactically, is going to be a very, very
good
game.
When's that game?
It's Monday night, actually, so we won't be talking about it next Sunday, which is a bit of a bummer. Next Monday. But we'll be tweeting about it. Of course, we'll be tweeting and Instagram about it, Sam. So here we go. Let's get into the wildcards. We've had a few of the patrons actually talking on the Slack about their wildcard drafts. And I said, come and share me your drafts. We'll talk about it on a Sunday night. And we've got a few to get through, Sam. So we're going to spend a few minutes on each one. First up, Mr. Sam O'Sullivan. Hey, Sam, how are you doing? Hope you're well. Thank you for sending your wildcard draft in. Now, you're going to struggle to see that.
I can't see. You just have to give me an overview.
You're going to struggle to see that, but I'm going to try and talk you through Sam's team. He says, Hayley and Sam, this is what I've got so far. Lamptey, Maddison and Watkins are not necessarily nailed. So those are the ones that you're thinking about having I wouldn't say a punt on, but those are the ones that are, certainly Maddison and Watkins are quite lowly owned differentials, aren't they? And Chilwell could change if Mendy is out for the long term. So that's a bit of a reference there to the Chelsea goalkeeper. So we've noticed something else that happened this international break, guys. You wouldn't have escaped your notice that the new Chelsea goalkeeper has played one game, got a clean sheet, and now he's got a knock.
They've got no luck against
it. So unlucky, isn't it? So unlucky. So could Kepa be coming back in? And if he does that make Chilwell and the rest of the Chelsea assets less of an option for us? So he's got Trent, Lamptey and Chilwell at the back. James Rodriguez, Maddison, De Bruyne and Salah, Kane, Watkins and Brewster up front with Ayling, Suchek and Walker Peters on the bench. What I particularly liked about Sam's team, by the way, is that I thought it was quite well balanced. If you look at that, and we talked before at the top of the show about having this, you know, COVID-19 balance in your squad and, you know, these players that can all of a sudden drop out on a Friday night or a Sunday morning and you've already spent your transfer, let's say, you're going to need your bench. And what Sam has done here is put together a very sensible looking team.
That front three, is pretty much my front three now.
Are you going for that? Kane and Watkins?
Yeah.
And Brewster?
So I've done the Watkins transfer already.
Have you really?
Yeah, I did it before.
Spoiler alert.
Well, yeah, I suppose I haven't told you that. I did it when we got off the live stream last Sunday night.
Wow.
I took Shea Adams out and put Ollie Watkins in. Because
Shea Adams has been well unlucky, hasn't he?
He has been well unlucky.
So unlucky.
But I just can't do it again. I did it for so much of last season with Shea Adams, and I just can't do it again. And the only reason I went early is because apparently he was going to take a price drop, and I don't think he ever did, but whatever, I've done it.
right.
But I like that front three.
Kane captain Sam against West Ham. Hey! Well,
I like
yes,
that.
Very good, very good. What do you think about James? Just quickly, because we've got a few of these to get through. James Maddison in the midfield there.
I really like Maddison, and I think he makes a big difference to that Leicester side, but the injury issue would worry me as a wildcard pick.
Because he came back, scored a worldie.
But only came back for a little bit, and then went off injured, and then didn't come in for the next game because he left
minutes.
Out the squad again.
Yeah, it's a bit... Is he managing something there?
Was there any Everton players in there?
Yes, James Rodriguez in the mid.
Yeah.
In the mid. So Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Nice rotation, I think, between Walker Peters and Lamptey. We spoke before... Yeah. This season
that
about how
well.
Brighton and Southampton rotate well.
Yeah.
And we talked about it in the context of McCarthy and Ryan, but I think that equally makes sense with Lamptey and Walker Peters. So, Sam, not too much to say to Sam.
Yeah,
I think
you're on the right lines
there, mate. You're on the right lines. Let's have a look at Adrian Harid. So, Adrian, how are we doing? Very nice to see you. Thank you for the wildcard draft. Another one, Sam, that's going Kane captain up front. This time, twinning him with Heung-Min Son in midfield.
Ooh,
so, this will
love
clearly...
to see it.
Get the Sam Bonfield seal of approval. He says, Haley and Sam, this is my wildcard. I still worry about not having De Bruyne, though. So no KDB in this wildcard. So either I have Kane and Anguissa or De Bruyne and Brewster. By the way, I've got 5 million in the bank in case Pulisic comes in and Rodriguez suddenly stalls. So he's got a bit in the bank. So 0.5, not 5 million.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
5 million?
Not, so half a million, 0.5 in the bank to go Rodriguez to Pulisic.
Okay.
If Pulisic starts firing or Rodriguez starts regressing. Given that he's got Calvert-Lewin up front, I think that's a reasonable strategy.
Yes, me too.
To upgrade to that Chelsea midfield.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily see much regression in Rodriguez, though. I think Rodriguez looks really good.
Nor do I. Who's that extra striker next to Kane?
It's Callum Wilson. It's Kane, Callum Wilson and Calvert-Lewin.
Wow, that's a front three.
Up front. So we've got the Son and Kane piece going on in there. We've got the Salah, but clearly Adrian is concerned about the no Kevin De Bruyne. How are we feeling about that?
If I was wildcarding, I don't think I'd have Kevin De Bruyne.
What?
No, genuinely, I don't.
What? Goodness me, no Kevin De Bruyne. I've seen a lot of wild cards without Kevin De Bruyne. This guy is the FPL god.
But it's not really to do with Kevin, is it? Look at the rest of Man City, they're falling apart. They've got no Aguero, they've got no Jesus.
They're
they've
coming back.
Got no
Just
Sterling.
About to come back.
Well, Jesus isn't back till the 24th of October. Oof. And Aguero, if he comes back, he's going to be rushed back, which means he's not going to be able to play for 90 minutes. Now, all right, we know what Aguero can do even in 30 minutes. But if they've got no Sterling either, who the hell are they playing in these games? I think... KDB without a Man City squad is a lot of money for what you potentially get, as we've seen in the last two game weeks.
Wow, all right. Well, Adrian, I'm afraid we're split there, mate, because I'm absolutely having Kevin De Bruyne in my wildcard team, and he's going absolutely nowhere.
But there's an obvious plan for it there, because if suddenly Man City improve at the end of October, that sort of coincides with the Spurs fixtures getting more difficult. So you can always go with one of the Spurs players and swap them out for Kevin.
I think that is what I like about Adrian's team, is he's got what's the word we always use at the beginning of the season? Be flexible, don't
There's
we say that? Be flexible.
There, yeah.
So within two moves, be able to get to a Kevin De Bruyne, or within two moves, be able to get to a Salah if you don't have him, right? And a few of you guys in the live chat are saying, you know, James Ward, Kevin's a season keeper. Nuclear Atoms, never count out KDB. Bossman 525, you can't get rid of KDB. Adam France is saying one pen and KDB is essential. This is why I'm having him. This is why I'm having him. Despite everything that we've seen so far this season with the penalties, because that plays a big part in it as well. And you know what he's like with the penalties. He's just so creative. Even today for Belgium against England, he was creating so many chances for Carrasco and a few of the others. They were just fluffing their lines, weren't they? Now, of course, we did see him give it a bit of that, and giving it to Martinez at heart. You know, I need to come off, blah blah blah. So we obviously need to keep an eye on a potential Kevin De Bruyne injury. But if he's fit and firing, if there's nothing in that injury, he's in for me all day long. I just wouldn't go without him.
You're speaking to the converted, really, with me. I owned him for every single week last season, but the way Man City are currently, it's a lot of money for a player that is kind of dragging the rest of the Man City team along, and I'm not seeing a lot to be inspired by at Manchester City right now.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, the fixtures of Man City, by the way, Arsenal at home, which, you know, could be a few goals, West Ham away, Sheffield United away, which is a game where I think you'd want some Man City players. Then it's the big one. It's Liverpool in game week 8 at home, and then Spurs away. So listen, if you are going to go without Kevin De Bruyne, it's risky, but it's a risk that could pay off given those fixtures and the form for Man City, depending on what you're going to do with that money, I think.
Mm.
Oh, there we go. Double Spurs, no KDB. This is a wildcard draft built by you, I'm
this
sure.
This is Harry Redknapp's fantasy team, this is.
What are we saying about this? So he's going Kane and Anguissa or De Bruyne and Brewster. How do we feel about that? Still fancy the Kane pick, don't you?
I do at the moment. The fixtures do shift later.
Yeah.
But I do think for now the partnership is so good at Spurs that I would have them too for the next few weeks.
I absolutely fancy Kane as well. But Adrian, I have to say, not at the expense of Kevin De Bruyne for me. I will find a way to get
them
both.
Take Trent out. Pointless.
Well, possibly. Next wildcard draft comes from Matt D in the Slack. Thank you, Matt, for the wildcard draft. No comments here, Sam. He just says, boom, here's my wildcard draft. Here it is. Have a look at that. What do you think?
Right, tell me who they are because I can't see them.
These are actually particularly small. Do you know what's interesting when I'm screenshotting all of these from the Slack? Everyone's got a different phone, haven't they? So they're either like wide or long. It's quite difficult. He's gone for seeing Brewster in a lot of drafts now. Seeing Brewster in a lot of drafts.
Makes a lot of sense.
And I have to say, if he does get his Sheffield United debut...
Wilder said he's going to.
In game week 5. Has Wilder said that?
Wilder said he's going to play him against Fulham.
Well, listen, him against Fulham could be the perfect start for him. After that, it's quite difficult, right? So Sheffield United's fixtures after that are Liverpool. Wouldn't he like to score in that game?
But 4.5, best benching.
Well, this is it. Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, and then West Ham in 9. But at 4.5, you bench him.
But well, they are at the minute. They can't, you know. But even Liverpool, I'd play him against Liverpool. Adrian's awful.
I would do. Azzy is saying, hey, Azzy, definitely a template starting to emerge again with these wildcards. I think you're right, mate. But the way that FPL's going this season, it's my concern, and I've been trying not to do this, is to build a wildcard based on chasing game week 4's points. Because it'd be really easy to get Jackie Grealish and Son and Kane, etc., wouldn't it? But my view is that you need to look ahead. You need to look ahead to the fact that City are going to have their players coming back. Liverpool are not going to lose 7-2 again, right? That Klopp just won't let that happen. Don't you even start with me. you've got to think about Chelsea and their players are coming back. Give me that, Gareth. When are we playing you?
I don't know. Hopefully soon. Hopefully while Alisson's out and Gareth Bale can run riot against Adrian.
So I'm not worried about Bale
and
in
every
that
time,
game. Because Bale's on the other side, isn't he?
Or Kane, come at you. I'll come and give you a little kiss.
Bale can do what he wants against Robbo and Van Dijk. He's going to get nothing out of them two. But it's Son against the other two I'm worried about. let's see about Matt's draft then. So he's got Brewster, Wilson and Calvert-Lewin up front. So he's kind of taking a bit of a budget approach to that front line, Sam. And then midfield, he's in the midfield, he's splashing the cash. So he's gone Salah and De Bruyne and Son and Rodriguez and Trossard as well, which is a nice pick, I think.
Yeah.
Trent, Charlie Taylor, James Justin and Lamptey at the back. So very much a midfield heavy draft there with Son as potential bus team captain, if you like, for game week 5. How do you feel about that in terms of chucking all your resources at the midfield?
I don't object to it on the basis that actually the forwards in that middle bracket, price-wise, have actually been really solid so far. With Callum Wilson on penalties has been really good. Calvert-Lewin is obviously doing Calvert-Lewin things at the moment. So there's a real wealth of opportunities there. My view on that team, and this is something I never, ever, ever thought I'd say, is I don't think there's enough Aston Villa.
Needs a bit of Villa, because the fixtures
are really nice. The form is fantastic. They found their feet. It's no longer Aston Villa is Grealish. There is so many other good opportunities at Aston Villa right now with John McGinn, who scored on international duty, with Ollie Watkins, who was fantastic in the last game week, with Ross Barkley. There's so many good picks. Martinez is in the keeper position. There's so many good options there. For me, if I was wildcarding, there would 100% be at least one villain in there because they offer such good value, if nothing else.
I tell you what I do like about it is he's got a couple of Brighton players in there. Just looking at the Brighton fixtures, Crystal Palace away, West Brom at home. Obviously, then a trip to Spurs is difficult. Burnley at home, Villa away. On the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, they are third in terms of fixture difficulty. Obviously, Lamptey is going to be a popular pick, I think, amongst wildcarders for obvious reasons. We've seen him get forward in the first few game weeks, of course. But Trossard I quite like, and Neil Maupay
I like Maupay.
I mean, I didn't realise how much of a... I don't want to use the word, but he's a wind-up merchant, isn't he, Maupay?
Yeah.
But he's on penalties, he knows where the net is. And I go back to that game against Manchester United, the 3-2, where United won it after full-time, which I still can't get my head round. But yeah, Trossard and Solly March and Maupay, I mean, they got Maupay got the points, but they, but as a team, they could have had so many goals in that game. It's incredible. And Trossard's got to be worth it. I really like that as a pick from Matt there, Trossard.
I honestly think that Brighton have been overlooked this season on the basis that if you just look at the results, it doesn't look like they've had a very good start to the season. But having watched all four of their games so far, they have been really, really good.
They've had a pass in the eye test without doing any FPL points.
They certainly deserve something against Chelsea. They deserve something against Manchester United. The players have been doing all the right things and they're getting into all the right places. And okay, I mean, Trossard hit the bar God knows how many times in that game against Manchester United. So they are potentially being a little bit wasteful. But there's opportunities there. And as FPL managers, that's what we want, isn't it? Players that are getting good opportunities. And Lamptey is providing some fantastic balls in from his side of the pitch. So, yeah, I mean, I think Brighton are really good options.
Yeah, Lamptey looks good. Just a one quick word. And there's a few of you guys, like Nuclear Atoms again, nice comment in the live chat. People who are bringing in Callum Wilson are not looking at Newcastle's fixtures deeply enough. And here are Newcastle's fixtures. Manchester United at home, which frankly doesn't sound like too bad a fixture to me on paper. Wolves away, Everton at home, excuse me, Southampton away, Chelsea at home. That's tricky, no, for Newcastle, for Callum Wilson?
Yes, but he's on penalties. And Newcastle... So Newcastle were interesting for me because Newcastle with St Max, decent. Newcastle without St Max, awful.
Yeah,
that's
so,
my view.
So eyes on the injury news as
so
to whether he's
going to be
back.
So we need to keep an eye on that because obviously he went off during that last game week. So just keep an eye on it, I think. Okay. There are other options in that position. If you're wildcarding, there's plenty of other opportunities. You could get Ollie Watkins, and that gives you a Villa asset.
God, do you want to mention Ollie Watkins again?
How many times have you been on him? I like
him. One good game this kid's had. Unbelievable. I can't believe people are like, oh, Barkley's going to be the next... Barkley has been absolute guff for 2 years. He's had one good game against Liverpool and suddenly he's an option. I do agree with you on the Villa stuff, and I probably am going to have Grealish in my team. But, you know, listen, I need to see more from Ollie Watkins. I need to know that Barkley is decent again, rather than being the Barkley that we've seen for the last 2.5 years. He'd been rubbish at Chelsea for the last 2 years. Glimpses.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, he plays against Liverpool and they get what it's a freak result, right? It's a freak result. And suddenly we're like, well, Ollie Watkins is a new hero and Barkley's
okay.
a new...
So against Liverpool, it's a freak result, yes. But they have, I mean, given they started a week behind everybody else, their performances so far have been really, really good. They've played really well. They've got some decent results. And okay, they've been against lesser opposition. But then they came up against Liverpool and they did the business against you. Now, okay, it probably won't ever happen again. But the fixtures are nice going forward. So there's no reason to think that they can't get points out of those games. And
yeah,
if they're going to Grealish, Barkley, those guys, they're going to be part of it.
And I hear what you guys are saying in the live chat. I want goals 15 saying Watkins was smashing it in the Championship, though. Yes, he was, but
fixtures
it's the Championship.
Are nice.
It's the Championship. And then he goes on to say, yeah, Grealish feeding Watkins all the time. Let's see, FPL tips. Ross Barkley gets his annual bandwagon after his one good game. Yeah, this is it. I just like, that's my thing about Barkley.
But you don't have to go Barkley.
No, I know. But there's a lot of wildcarders that are thinking about Barkley and Watkins and all the Villa players. And like Konsa's like quite highly owned at the moment. I'm like, what? Konsa, really? So I don't know. I just want to see, you know, Villa, the acid test. They've got Leicester away, Leeds at home, Southampton at home, Arsenal away. That's reasonable fixtures. But they are tough. I mean, there's against teams that score goals and they're in form. Leeds, obviously a good side to watch. I like watching them. Southampton as well. Arsenal away, tricky little game for Villa. So I'm probably going to have Grealish because of the talismanic nature of the man and the free kicks and the penalties and everything else. But no, I can... Barkley, I'll leave for now. That's going to haunt me, isn't it? 2 weeks from now, Barkley's going to be absolutely essential.
I literally can't wait to come back on at the weekend when Watkins has got a trick.
Let's have a look.
Can't wait.
At Shadi El Makawi's team. So thank you, Shadi, for the message on Slack. He's saying, Hayley and Sam, hopefully this is my final draft unless
we rip it apart.
unless I do a load of other things, like get Pulisic in for Rodriguez and sacrifice one of the 4.5 defenders. So he already has a 4.0 defender in his team in Tyrick Mitchell, who is one. If I was wildcarding right now, I don't think I would have him based on the fact that Van Aanholt's going to come back any minute now. But what Shadi is saying is that I think what he's saying is that he would sacrifice one of his other 4.5s, which would either be Dallas or Webster, bring them down to another 4.0. I guess Ferguson or Dunn, I guess, are the only other 4.0s that we've been discussing, so that he can do Rodriguez to Pulisic. Your thoughts much appreciated. So again, here's another guy that's gone heavy in the midfield. Salah, De Bruyne, Rodriguez, Grealish, Heung-min Son.
Whoa!
Very, very heavy midfield. Reasonably heavy at the back as well with Chilwell and Robertson, although he's got Dallas and Webster alongside those guys. And then going for the budget up front. So Calvert-Lewin, Maupay and Brewster up front. So again, a little bit like the draft we saw a second ago, heavy in the midfield. Just a quick word on that one.
I like the front three. I think you can get away with it there. That back line would really worry me because I'm not convinced that Mitchell's going to stay in that team for much longer. Patrick Van Aanholt is back in training and it's just match fitness.
Yeah, but that's your 4.0. I mean, on any given week, he's playing Robertson and Chilwell, perfect. Dallas and Webster. I think I'd have Lamptey over Webster. Are they the same price?
Lamptey's gone up a bit,
Lamptey's gone up a bit. Maybe that's a bit inhibitive for this team, I don't know. But if I was wildcarding, I think I'd find a way to have Lamptey over Webster. But
what are the keepers?
Martinez and McCarthy.
Well, they're nice.
Yeah, so decent goalkeepers.
I like that midfield. It's big.
It's a big midfield, isn't it? But there's plenty of cash cows in there, do you know what I mean?
There is.
You know, if you want to move Son out down to a Suchek so you can get Kane or Aguero or something like that, it's doable within two moves, isn't it? It's reasonably flexible. I wouldn't say there's too much bad about that. I'm not sure. The one thing that I have seen in a lot of drafts, and obviously this one as well, is the Rodriguez and Calvert-Lewin double up. If you're on a wild card now, given Everton's fixtures read like this, obviously Liverpool next, Southampton and Newcastle away, then Man United at home in the next four. How are you feeling about that double up for Everton, Rodriguez and Calvert-Lewin?
So I'd have Calvert-Lewin. If I was wild carding, I'd have bought in DCL. The Rodriguez thing is really interesting to me, and maybe it's because I've spent a lot of time with you, because I like him. I think from a football point of view, he's lovely to watch. He plays beautiful football, but there was a lot of frustration watching him. And I was thinking I'd be annoyed if I owned him because he's assisting the assist all the time. He's putting in these beautiful balls, but then they're going to the guy that eventually gets the assist. And it did change when Richarlison went off, the Gary theory again. But I think the reality is, if Richarlison's back, then do we see James revert back to type, which is that he sits a bit, not deep, but he sits deeper than Richarlison anyway. He doesn't go with such gusto. And if that's the case, could we spend our FPL pounds better? Like, is there a better double up than the Everton one? I don't know that there is, because Everton are on really, really good form and the rest of that midfield is so lovely. But I do wonder whether actually if you put in Suchek, who's got really, you know, difficult fixtures for a little bit, but then they get really nice over Christmas, you could save yourself a hell of a lot of money and then you could just strengthen in other areas potentially.
Okay, well, look, Tom Bradbury's in. Hey, Tommy, saying, Lee, what are you talking about? Amazing fixtures for Everton. United, one of the worst in the league. Your lot have just conceded seven and Southampton play a high line. What are you worrying about? It's going to be perfect for the pace of Richarlison in behind that Saints back line and Dominic Calvert-Lewin aerially against Manchester United at sixes and sevens, potentially, could look very good indeed. A lot of praise for Shadi's midfield there. Shadi is in the live chat. Hey, Shadi, he's saying, I haven't got the money for Lamptey. I would be tempted, tell me about this, I would be tempted to just go with one of those keepers. Go with one of those keepers, go a 4.5 and get Lamptey. What are we saying?
I'd keep the rotating keepers, but I'd drop Rodriguez down and I'd free up some money to do it that way.
I wouldn't tamper with Rodriguez just to get Lamptey, would you?
No, but I'd have money in the bank because then you've got money to get to Pulisic or wherever else it is you want to go.
Okay, interesting. But another Spurs captaincy. Son captaincy. I think
it's a hell of a lot of pressure on Spurs in this game.
A lot of Spurs captaincies knocking about at the minute. And I think West Ham are going to give you a game. I'm telling you, I think you'll win. I think you win.
Do you know what? I don't even think mine is on a Spurs player at the minute on my boss team.
Well, let's have a look. So thank you, guys. Thank you to all the patrons that sent in your wild card drafts so that we could have a look at them. Just before we get to mine, let's just have a quick shout out to Matthew Keown, who was in before. 98 points, Sam, so far in the first week in game week four.
Great week.
In game week four of the Manager of the Month October competition that we run offline in our Slack and in our Patreon. If you want to take part in the October Manager of the Month and you're thinking, I've got 90-something, I've got 80-something points, I could compete here.
I wish I did.
Get into patreon.com/FPL family and take part in our monthly competitions. Matthew's absolutely smashing it. He's having a fantastic start to the season because he was right up there throughout September, but Hanno just got the score, just pipped him to the post. But he's had a fantastic start in October with 98 points. David is right in there with 97. There's two. Neil Crassin, who's a long-term patron. Neil, well done in game week four. 86 points, not to be sniffed at all. And Salil in at 86 points as well. So listen, plenty of time to go in October. Still two or three game weeks to go, I think. So anything can change, but fair play to Matthew. He is smashing it so far in the October Manager Month. So if you want to take part in that, like I say, patreon.com/FPL family. You get all the other stuff as well, the bonus Ohana podcasts we do, entry to the Manager of the Month competition, Slack access, and if you want to even head up to the $10 Zoom tier, you get one-to-one Zooms with us twice a year at a time of your choosing. I've got two coming up next week, actually.
Yeah.
And I did one in the week, so shout out to everybody.
Everyone wants to talk to Lee.
All of the Zoom patrons that have asked for their Zoom calls. I'm thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying them. Shout out to Martin, who I spoke to, Martin Treaky Swartz, who I spoke to Friday night, and I spoke to Omar Khan last week as well. So, guys, very nice to meet you. Speaking to Sam O'Sullivan, and I'm speaking to Bryce. Remember Bryce, who is a former Manager of the Month? So,
am I from sunny Australia?
Bryce, I think so. Yes, I think so. Yeah,
I think he's
a long way away. So, Bryce, speaking to Bryce as well on Monday.
Rashford shirt. Did we send him a Rashford shirt?
Yes, I think we did. It was a Man United something, wasn't it?
No, Bryce is not in Australia. Is Bryce in like the Maldives or Mauritius or somewhere?
Yeah, somewhere like
his
that.
His is the one that somewhere took nice. Forever. It took so long to get out there, didn't
the
it?
The post was horrendous, wasn't it?
It took him like 8 years, it felt like.
It was so... We send... These are the sorts of prizes you can get, guys, if you win our Manager of the Month competitions. And if you're in like London or in the UK, that's fine.
Get them in a day.
Get there in a couple of days. Bryce is somewhere amazingly exotic.
Had to go on a boat and a plane or something. Yes. I don't know.
It had its own little boat going over to his island.
I feel like we should have tracked it, like with a pin.
I feel like we should have delivered it. Could have had a little holiday or something. That would have been amazing.
That would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Amazing. So there we go, guys. Matthew, right up there with 98 points, but plenty of time. If you want to go check out and be part of the October Manager Month, you can do so. Here, Sam, is my current thinking around the old wild card. I'm not too far off of the sort of midfield that we were talking about with Salil there. Or with Charlie, actually, I should say. Salah and De Bruyne absolutely stay. Absolutely stay. No question in my mind that they're going anywhere. I have drafted in Grealish for all the reasons that we mentioned before.
Yeah.
Currently, Rodriguez stays and Suchek stays on the basis that I think he's really, really good value. Now, could Suchek be Son, and could I downgrade either Kane or Jimenez to a Morpay or a Wilson or a somebody down there? Well, if I wanted some. And this is my strategy. I don't feel like with that West Ham game there that I want both Spurs players. I feel like I want Inter Spurs, but I don't think I want both. And actually, if Bale starts hitting form, going to want Son and Bale and Kane. Probably going to want...
Why not?
Oh, jeez, you're unbelievable. So where are those Spurs goggles? We haven't had them out for a while. Goodness me.
I actually know where they are in there.
So I'm looking at a Spurs player, and right now, pending injury and pending muscle fatigue that is the one thing putting me off Kane, right? He's on penalties, he looks sharper than ever. I want him in my team.
He's just being clever.
But if bloody Jose Mourinho drops him against West Ham and says, well, he's got muscle fatigue.
He won't.
Oh, you just know that something like that's going to happen.
Why? Why would that happen?
Because it's Spurs. Probably not against West Ham because he's not played the full game tonight against Belgium. But like Burnley away, Brighton at home, or even West Brom away in game week 8 where you would want him as your captain against West Brom. You just know Jose will just be like, play Vinicius or he'll play somebody else. And you're just like, oh, it just... That's the one thing putting me off Kane. I'm really put off.
Let's be clear here. He's not bought Vinicius to start games. He's bought Vinicius so that he can take Kane off on 60 minutes when we're smashing a game and play him then.
I don't know. Matt Henley's saying Kane plays... I know, Matt. I know, but...
What is wrong with you, man?
I don't trust Jose Mourinho. And we shouldn't trust Jose Mourinho. Because a couple of weeks ago he went, yeah, Saints' son's torn his hammy and he made everybody miss a 20-point haul.
And what did I tell you?
I know, Sam, but you're not everybody.
Yeah, but what do I tell you about Spurs? Listen to what I do actually... When it comes to Spurs, yeah. I do most of the time know what I'm talking about.
Well, listen, I want goals, as in he said. Mourinho has his favourites and Kane is one of them. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Mick Lustmetz is saying, well, listen, if you're going to buy Kane, he's injury prone, but you're going to get hauls from him. So just face facts. That is what's going to happen. Dread FPL says, Lee, does the Dominic Calvert-Owen ownership not bother you? Yes, of course it does. Absolutely does.
Sorry, did you say you've still got Jimenez?
I have, yeah, right now. But I might not. And you'll notice, guys, that he's got a white box around him. That's because I've sold him to miss the price drop. I'm potentially going to get him back in, coming into game week 5. Let's see. But Calvert-Lewin also is in there. But again, I don't want to double up with Rodriguez. And I actually really like Rodriguez. He's been great for me since... Ever since I had him, game week two.
Yeah. But rewind to half time of that Everton game, and you were selling him 100%. I'm getting rid of Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Fast forward to the end of that game. By the time I'd gone to the shop, bought the milk, and come home, and he's staying in your wild card.
He got 18 points.
But Richarlison wasn't on the pitch.
I know. And I think.
You're worried about Harry Kane?
Given the fixtures, I'm probably going to have Rodriguez or Dominic Calvert-Lewin. So if I drop Jimenez to Calvert-Lewin, that would enable me to have Rodriguez probably to Pulisic. And that feels risky and I don't like it.
I think that feels like a bit of a no-brainer.
It's not a no-brainer, is it? Pulisic haven't kicked a ball yet this year. How can it be a no-brainer?
You wouldn't, in my opinion.
So I knew bringing this up when you'd put all these doubts in my mind. I dreaded doing this. Anyway, at the back, I've stuck with Kyle Walker-Peters because I think he's really good.
That's a no-brainer.
And I've brought Lamptey in so that I can do the old switcheroo rotation with those two.
Yeah.
The one thing that was putting me off, if you remember, in the first four game weeks and having those two was having either Ryan or McCarthy and having to double up.
Nothing wrong with the double up.
I think now that we've got... Well, you're absolutely right. But now that we've got Martinez in there as an option, I've got Martinez in goal, and then I've got Kyle Walker-Peters and I've got Lamptey.
What? Hang on. You've got no other keeper?
Just Martinez, yeah. Martinez and a 4.0, yeah. Goalkeepers, listen, we ain't got enough clean sheets. There's no clean sheets.
I've had two the last couple of weeks.
I know, but you've been jammy with the Saints.
What are you talking about being jammy?
I've gone Walker-Peters and I knew you'd put all these doubts in my head. I hate this. Rotate keepers,
it's the way to go.
Actually hating this with a passion. Dread FPL, go for it, Lee. It's the fun pick. Dread, no, I don't want fun. I don't want fun. I want certainty and low risk. I'm a low risk FPL player.
Sorry, Martinez and who?
I've got Steele at the moment because he's 4.0. Listen, I'm not interested in goalkeepers. Move on from goalkeepers. Walker-Peters, Lamptey. I've got Robertson rather than Trent.
Oh, that's interesting.
Robertson rather than
How
Trent.
How can I doubt you about this? I'm enjoying this.
I hate this.
This is why you played your wild card in secret the other year.
Ferguson stays. I got him because I think at some stage, surely, Ferguson is going to come in and he's going to be better than Joe Ward. It's probably going to be game week 37, but when he comes in, I'm going to be like, yes. Get in there, Nathan.
To be fair, I would do that as well.
And I've got, at the moment, Luke Ayling. That could be any number of 4.5s, but I've gone Luke Ayling at the back.
You've spent the last 5 weeks saying, I don't like the Leeds defence.
I don't like the Leeds defence, but I don't really like any other 4.5 defences, except for Saints and Brighton, really.
Right.
I could go Aston Villa, but then I'd be doubling up with a goalkeeper. Please, can you just tell me that you love the Luke Ayling pick, just so I can...
I love the Luke Ayling pick. I'd go Dallas.
The guys in the chat are going, you need Son. Listen, guys, I want somebody from Spurs, but Son or Kane, I don't know. I've gone Brewster up top because he got...
Why not?
Brewster, haven't you? So my bench most weeks is going to look like Ferguson, Souček and Brewster. And at least two of those are going to play, in my opinion. And Ferguson...
Why would you not play Souček?
Yeah, Souček could play. Yeah, absolutely. But what I'm saying is those are my three... cheapest players.
Alright.
A lot of game weeks Souček will play and it'll be either Ayling or whoever I'm rotating out of Walker-Peters and Lamptey don't play. Yeah. The alternative is I could go for somebody at Burnley and go for like a Charlie Taylor who done so well for me last season, but Burnley just don't look at it at all. Now, Ben Mee is going to be back from injury at some stage. you've got to think that's going to improve them, and I think that it will, but right now I'm not, I don't know, I think Charlie Taylor and Burnley are just a step too far for me at the minute. So I'm going to go with Aylin based on the fact that he's looked the most, say the most attacking. He and Dallas have looked equally attacking, but there's not many fullbacks that are going to get one-on-one with Ederson, and he did in that game against Manchester City, and he could have scored, and I just think the eye test for me slightly favours Aylin over Dallas, but I could be swayed on that. There are a lot of 5.5s that I like the look of. I like the look of Chilwell and Castagna.
I'm surprised not to see Semedo.
I do like the look of Semedo, but that fundamentally goes more in line with my feeling about Wolves right now. I've got a bad feeling about Wolves, and because of that, I'm probably not going to have Jimenez. Probably not.
So then you're probably not going to have Rodriguez.
Probably not, because I'm probably going to have Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Pulisic.
If you take, you can't get to Son.
No, Rodriguez to Son is $1.5 million, I think.
And what is it between?
So I'd have to go from Jimenez down to Calvert-Lewin. So that's $1 million. So I've probably got to find $500,000 somewhere. But then I've got double. I don't want double Spurs. I don't want double Spurs. That's just. I don't trust Mourinho enough. A lot of you guys are going for Masuaku. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Masuaku. I had him last year.
Only because he was. Did you see him on Twitter? Mm. He just dropped a bit of a clanger about their signing, didn't he, on Twitter? So fair play to him. So guys, that is where my wildcard team is at the moment. No doubt it will change. No doubt it will change, because if nothing else, you're putting all these thoughts in my head that I don't like. I'm trying to nail it down. I'm not trying to make it even more difficult.
I don't think I've been. There's not a lot wrong with it. I just. There isn't. I think if you're wildcarding, why would you not have Dominic Calvert-Lewin with the form he's in at the moment?
Hangman 23. No Chelsea assets, Lee. You'll be crying next week. Probably. Son is better value than Kane, Morgan is saying. Listen, when Spurs haven't had a lot of penalties yet. When you start getting a lot of penalties, Kane's going to be banging in hat-tricks left, right and centre. He has looked so sharp for me. Not to say Son hasn't. But Kane has looked so sharp.
You're preaching to the converted, talking to me about Harry Kane, let's be honest.
But I could save $1.5 million going Son in midfield.
Well, go on then.
Such a nightmare. FPL tips, get Bale. Harry, don't make it any harder for me, mate.
Genuinely, if I was wildcard and I would 100% would be having both Spurs players, and I'd drop one of them as the fixtures change.
Oh, I want goals then. Get Ollie Watkins.
Yes, definitely get Ollie
Watkins. Jacob 17, Jamal Lewis is a shout. Oh, guys, I knew this was a bad idea tonight. James O'Mahony, Bruno out. Should I bring him?
The best thing here is that Lee, one of the things we learned in our first season of FPL Family is that Lee overthinks what people tell him to do.
Oh.
He massively overthinks it. So he'll get
nuclear atoms. Get Pulisic now.
Seriously, guys, he will be a nightmare for me for the next 4 days, because every time one of you just pop on Twitter every now and then and just say, Lee, get whoever, and it will play in his mind.
Get Sterling.
And it will literally just it'll eat away at him. And over dinner, he'll just be sat there and I'll be like, what's the matter with you? And he'll be like, oh.
I'm having a Twitter ban and got off Twitter.
You won't. I'm off Twitter. You won't. What will happen is you'll sit there and you'll read all these messages.
Get Rashford. I'm not getting Rashford. No. Notice this distinct lack of Manchester United in this team, which could come back to bite me. I appreciate that. But the way the league is going so far this season, it's so unpredictable.
I can't wait for them all to be messaging you all week. Get this one.
It's unbelievable. The Running Sloth, which is a great name, by the way, he says, Lee, you need to go big at the back, which would be a complete change in philosophy and mindset for the whole of my wildcard, which I'm not. I'm definitely not going big at the back. There's nowhere near enough clean sheets.
Nobody's kept any, apart from Southampton. Well, you can't go big in there.
Interesting. I was listening to a couple of the podcasts saying that actually the amount of clean sheets we've had this year has been roughly in line with what we've seen in the last couple of seasons. Just seen when the clean sheet goes, it goes phenomenally. Getting 4, 5, 6 goals rather than it's just 1-0, 2-0.
Oh, okay. Having said that,
I still don't feel like there's a lot of defending going on.
No, and maybe that's true, actually, because I do feel like there's just ridiculous scorelines every 5 minutes.
Yeah,
rather than just 1-0, 2-0.
It's tough. So there we go, guys. That is the wild card as it stands, but it will change.
I'll give you 7 out of 10 for it.
7 out of 10. Brilliant. That's a glowing endorsement.
And if I was still teaching, I'd write on it, could do better.
C plus. Must try harder. Thank you for that. That's a glowing endorsement. Guys, thank you for joining us this evening on FPL Family. Plenty of wild card chat to be had over on the Slack. If you're a patron supporter of FPL Family, come check us out on the Slack. I'll be posting my wild card updates as we go through the week. You guys on Twitter and Sam influence my thinking all week. And of course, I'll be doing a special Ohana exclusive podcast for the patron supporters on Friday, where I'll be telling you what I've locked in, which will I'm sure will change after I've delivered the podcast. But what I've locked in on Friday morning for the Ohana followers. You can find us on all of the usual social media, on Twitter, Instagram, at FPL Family, on Facebook as well if you search us over there. Spotify, Audio Boom, and on Fantasy Football Scout as well. Have you got any Scout stuff going on this week? Any articles or podcasts for the Premier League? Anything going on?
I don't know.
No.
I don't think so. I think we've actually got... I think it might be my article week on Scout, but David hasn't told me that yet. But I think it might be my article week on Scout. So there might be an article from me this week.
Look out for that.
Look out for that. I'll be talking about Lee's wild card and how rubbish it is. No, I won't. I won't be talking about that. But I think we've got a quiet week in terms of Premier League stuff, I think.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, listen, we'll be here, as usual, again, Sunday night, 8:30, where I'm pretty sure you'll get an excited Sam after Bale has just scored a hat-trick against West Ham.
I'll have made my transfer already if that happens.
Guys, leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button if you're new around here. We'll see you this time, 8:30 again, next Sunday, when we'll be looking back at all of the Game Week 5 action, including that Bale hat-trick. See you soon.
Bye, guys.